AIS program update. Welcome, Jake.
Sorry about that. Let me start over. Jake Davis, I'm a Fisheries Program Minister, Administrator. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. So this morning, I just have a brief update on the Department's Aquatic Invasive Species Program. I want to provide some numbers where we're at, and really at the point where we're starting to wrap, well, we are wrapping things up for the season. We are still having a few staff out in the field, but by and large, as these colder temperatures are starting to occur and we're not that far away from ice up, the program will be at least the field component finishing up for 2023. All right, so just a general overline or overview of what I'll be covering today. Oh gosh, there was a delay.
I got you.
All right, thanks, Chris. So I'll be covering communications, also our current numbers through 2023, our detection and monitoring program, where we're at, the reporting. This is a big component, what we can get from our staff, but also members of the general public, and then just kind of a summary as well. So our communication, we do consider this to be our primary approach. You've heard me say this many times up here. One of the best ways that we can approach slowing the spread of AIS is trying to provide every user of South Dakota surface water with the tools to implement best management practices every time that they use a water body of South Dakota. I've said it many times, we can't be everywhere all the time, so the goal is to reach every user and provide them with the information that they can use when they're out there in the field. That being said, our communication staff has done a great job throughout the year passing information along. We use a variety of different tools, social media, emails, printed materials, again, really any way that we can try and reach our users. We also tailor it to different times of the year. So depending on if it's a busy weekend coming up, such as a 4th of July or Labor Day, when we know we're going to have a lot of recreational boating traffic, we'll send a message tailored to that. When we see things such as personal watercraft, jet skis that are going through our inspection stations, we may not see as much education as we like. We can tailor messages to that user group as well. Additionally, this time of year, what we do is we focus on some of the big issues right now, and that's infrastructure coming out of the water. Folks are starting to pull boat docks, boat lifts, and that's not only Game Fish and Parks staff at state parks or lakeside use areas, but also folks that have cabins, homes on water bodies. This is the time of year that when that infrastructure comes out of the water, we can start inspecting that and looking for any new confirmations. So we can tailor our messaging to that, and we do that. Additionally, our communication staff does a great job with our rapid response plan. So this rapid response plan allows us to, and dictates really what we do after a confirmation of zebra or quagga mussel. What happens then is that within a certain time period, 24 hours, media goes out, a media press release. Additionally, there's signage that's placed at that water body, and depending on the priority of that water body, the usage, it may be a certain size of sign. The big water or big boat ramps, for example, will get a 4x8 sign. Some of the other ones are smaller, just because it may be a primitive or a hand launch. For example, with the infestation, the confirmation on the Big Sioux River, we have a number of access areas there. Now those, for the most part though, are what we would consider to be primitive or hand launch. So with that, we would put smaller signs just because it's not likely to have the amount of use that, say, a bigger access area might have. So that rapid response plan is something that's implemented every time that a new zebra or quagga mussel infestation is confirmed. Just to clarify, we don't have any quagga mussels in the state to our knowledge. Everything has been related to zebra mussels so far. So as far as our numbers for this year, one of our other approaches outside of that communication and outreach is going to be our in-the-field activities, actually inspecting watercraft, interacting with users. Excellent opportunity for us to directly engage with users in the field. Additionally, it's an excellent opportunity for our law enforcement to be present in the field and enforce those current AIS regulations that we have out there. I want to thank staff for the effort that's been put into this watercraft inspection program this year. That includes park staff, wildlife staff, law enforcement. It's a big effort. And then also our partners in the West, the conservation districts. Again, a lot of staff, a lot of moving pieces. We started these inspections in May. They started wrapping up in August and September as our seasonal staff, a lot of them headed back to college. We do have a few inspection stations that are still operating in western South Dakota right now, and they'll go as long as we can until environmental conditions force us to shut down with colder temperatures. Currently, as of October 1st, we're at 18,159 inspections for the year. For reference, we were at 18,095 at the same date last year, so we are tracking a little bit ahead of last year. As far as decontaminations that have been performed on watercraft this year, it's 179. Now, these decontaminations can take various forms. It can be a plant decontamination where simply there's vegetation on a trailer, removing that. Now, in other cases, it can be a mussel foul boat. As we've had increased confirmations in the state, we've had increased numbers of decontaminations. Now, if you look at this picture here, what I do want to point out is the difficulty that goes with some of these inspections. If you can see that tiny grain of sand basically on that fingertip, that is a juvenile zebra mussel that was removed from a watercraft that was in Pactola Reservoir in a slip. So again, there's a lot of difficulty with these inspections. This is what staff are trying to find during these 18,159 inspections. So it is a difficult process. And it has shown that it's not 100% effective. There's water bodies in neighboring states that have inspected every watercraft that comes in and out, and they still had new confirmations. So again, I just wanted to throw this picture in there because this was taken just last month by some of our staff in the field. Now, as far as some of our other numbers, citations by law enforcement, 134 citations across the state with 145 warnings. This number is also up from last year. One of the nice things, too, is that we're in a much better place as far as staffing, too, and really appreciate the assistance that our law enforcement officers provide in the field during these inspections. Just to break it down more specifically for our different inspection locations across the state, we have three roadside. These are consisting of setting up on state highways or interstates. Any watercraft needs to pull in and be inspected. We have these set up in central and eastern South Dakota. We also have fixed access base. What we mean here is that, and this is primarily in western South Dakota, where we have fewer access areas, we would have staff at boat ramps or an entrance to a rec area. So for example, Belle Fouche Reservoir, with one fixed location, we can encounter all the traffic that goes in that water body in a given day during that inspection time. Then we also have a roving access base. This was a crew that we were not able to fill in 2022. We were in 2023 with some additional interns out of the Webster office. So big thank you to staff up there for providing that. What they did throughout the summer was basically move around to different water bodies and set up the boat ramps there. This was more of a roving schedule. The idea would be that we could be more proactive to, say, a hot bite or just a recreation that we knew was going to be a high recreation area. Additionally, we did work with local lake associations. If they knew that they were going to have a busy time, we could allow staff to be there for that as well. So one thing I do want to point out, I'm not going to cover all the numbers of those crews that are there, but you will see some variability between the columns on the right and the left, and that's going to be inspections through 2023, October 1st, and then 2022. You'll see some variability, and what we see of that is just different use patterns, whether that's a fishing bite, whether that's environmental conditions. For example, Pactola Reservoir this year on July 4th, it was probably 48 degrees. So that will impact use patterns at that point. And so I just want to point out that they're not always going to line up, and it's not always going to be an increase just because it's difficult to predict use patterns at times, and especially on those roadside crews. When you're setting up on a certain highway, you may not get everything. We do the best we can to maximize contacts, but again, it's a difficult public to track at times. As far as some of the internal AIS detection and monitoring, this is a big component of what we do as well. We have our Game Fish and Park staff every year go out and conduct standard lake surveys. So our staff is out there monitoring fish populations. While we've done AIS surveys in conjunction with that in the past, it was more formalized this year and we had a better way to track it. Multiple ways that this can happen: shoreline surveys, essentially staff walk a certain distance of shoreline and inspect vegetation as well as any in the water infrastructure, as well as vegetation surveys. So here what they're going to go do is actually throw a standardized size rake, pull vegetation in and identify it. That allows us to track it. So again, we'll have data points when we provide the end of year summary from across the state on where these occurred. So far, we've conducted 32 waters of shoreline surveys and 80 for vegetation surveys. Additionally, we reach out to our lake associations or any member of the public that can use our citizen monitoring portal through sdleasewanted.sd.gov. So if somebody's out in the field, in the water, they encounter something they think is an AIS, that's one way that they can submit that online if they're not able to reach a Game Fish and Parks personnel. On top of that, we do have a lot of staff that are in the field, and if somebody from the public feels like they've encountered something, please just reach out to your local Game Fish and Parks office. That information does get passed along to Tanner Davis and myself. And I will mention that Roy Lake, for example, that was an individual that had gone up to winterize a cabin for the end of the season, pulled their boat lift, and found zebra mussels attached. We got those zebra mussels in hand the next day. The day after that, our staff was there for a second confirmation. So we do use that information. And even if it turns out to be a not zebra mussel, a non-AIS, for example, we still follow up on those. So we do appreciate any of the information we get from the public. That allows us to better track distributions of AIS in South Dakota. As far as where we're at for 2023, we've had four confirmations. Sand Lake Refuge, and then the James River downstream of that, and then most recently Roy Lake and the Big Sioux River downstream of Watertown, essentially Lake Kampeska. That's where we're sitting for known confirmation so far in 2023. But again, as infrastructure is removed here in the coming weeks, a lot of times this is when we start to see additional confirmations. Last year, I believe our last one came the second or third, maybe even last week of October. So again, there's certainly the potential for more confirmations during this season. And again, as I mentioned, that infrastructure removal. So do want to get that message out. Our Game Fish and Parks staff knows it very well. We've been doing these inspections for a number of years. But again, for the general public, as that infrastructure comes out, please take a look. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, reach out to your local staff. And we do follow up on these reports. Again, just the ways to report this information, just want to try and get that message across as best we can. sdleasewanted.sd.gov, that's going to be our one-stop shop. But again, contact your local GFP office too. Local conservation officer, parks, fisheries, wildlife, whatever it might be, that information gets passed along to us very quickly, and we do follow up. That's one of the nice things of having staff across the state, is that we have staff in the area that can follow up on those reports. Additionally, it can be sent directly to Tanner. His information is there. But again, if just any Game Fish and Parks staff, and that information will work its way to us. Just a quick summary on the 2023 program. Inspections, 18,159. We expect a few more, as we still have some watercraft inspection stations going here for a few more weeks until ice up. Continued partnership with lake associations and any other entities that would like to discuss AIS and ways to help spread the word. We have four confirmations so far in 2023 to our knowledge. And then that busy time of year is infrastructure being removed. It's an excellent time for zebra mussels in particular to look and see where new confirmations may occur. If you see anything that you think is a zebra mussel attached, or just any AIS in general, again, reach out to us or through that citizen monitoring portal. And then the message that we try and talk about every time: clean, drain, dry. That is our message every time that you use the water body of South Dakota. And with that, I'd be more than happy to take any questions, and we will look to provide an end of the year summary here once we're at a point where we feel like we have ice cover in the state and our inspections are done.
Very good. Any questions for Jake? Commissioner Locken.
Thank you, Jake. Commissioner Locken here. Are we seeing any pattern with the zebra mussels? Are they, when we do detect it on equipment, on a boat or dock or anything, is it being moved from one of our lakes to another? Are we seeing them brought into the state on boats? Do we have any idea on what's going on there?
Through the chair. Yeah, Commissioner Locken. So yes, there are some patterns, and it does relate to the kind of vectors that we would say that they can be moved. For example, once you have an established population, you might see a downstream dispersal as they are free-floating villagers until they settle. So there are cases where you see a downstream movement of those. Now, additionally, though, when you look at a bigger picture and how the movement of zebra mussels in particular has happened since they were first introduced into the Great Lakes, it has been a westward expansion. So you certainly saw a downstream dispersal from in that location, too, but you're also seeing what we would consider to be a user-driven dispersal, and that's been just that western expansion. Now, at the same time, though, there's been some big jumps. And so, for example, just last year, the state of Colorado had a detection on the west slope on one of their reservoirs that had inspection stations, but that was a large jump, many miles, and so more than likely that was driven by a user, came in on a watercraft or something. So again, because there are multiple vectors for them to be introduced into new locations, that pattern might be a little bit different. So that downstream dispersal, but also that westward expansion likely being driven by the users.
Will our staff, one more question, please. Will our staff ever question an industrial piece of equipment that they see, a barge or something like that, moving down the road? Will they ever stop and inspect something like that?
To the chair. Yes, Commissioner Locken, we will. And I can speak personally to this where at Belfouche Reservoir several years ago, we had barge equipment come in to do some dredge work on the dam for the local irrigation district. We were notified of that. We had staff on site, and I was there personally. That had most recently been used in, I believe, the St. Louis Harbor in Duluth, Minnesota, and it was encrusted with zebra mussels. So we were able to find that at the boat ramp at Rocky Point. They went through a decontamination process. We're able to use that equipment, but again, we were there on the front end, and that contractor is actually great to work with. We moved that equipment back to Rapid City for a period of 7 or 14 days for decontamination and drying. So we will inspect, say, not just recreational watercraft.
Commissioner White.
Quick question, Commissioner White here. We have a great number of out-of-state people coming in to fish our fisheries. Are there some states that have a bigger problem, or how are they classified as far as where we're at with our mussels? I guess that's a question I just have for the surrounding streets that are coming in and on our waters.
To the chair. Yeah, Commissioner White, as far as neighboring states that have them, what you're going to see is some of our neighboring states, state to the east, for example, they're likely going to have more infested water bodies or conformations just because, again, that westward expansion, they've had it for longer, if you will. That being said, every state's AIS program looks a little bit different. A lot of times they all take their own different approach. Some of them can spend a lot more money on it. Some of them can throw a lot more staff at it. They still see new infestations on an annual year. So again, but as far as classifying the levels that you might see, again, when you look to the west of us, may not have nearly as many confirmations, but again, that's where this has been heading. And so that over as the AIS program has evolved, essentially there's been just kind of lines in the sand moving west, and it just continues to trend that way. So if you want just a general classification, if you look to the east, you're going to see higher numbers of confirmations. If you look to the west, fewer. But again, that transition, or excuse me, the development since the mid-80s has just continued to show that westward expansion.
Additional questions, comments? Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, yeah, on the compliance, I guess in the previous slides there was about 18,000 inspections, warnings, and citations were around 300 maybe. That would make me think like a 98 to 99% compliance, or do you have that actual number not only for this year, but how are we doing? Like, you know, we're at least 3 years into this where we've done significant studies on it. Is our compliance getting better among the public, or how is that working?
Through the chair. Yeah. Commissioner Whitmire, the numbers for this year we haven't provided yet just because we still are running some inspections, but we will have that information at the end of year summary. Now, last year, our statewide compliance was 96%. That did vary between inspection locations from anywhere, say, 91 to 99. So while that plug compliance was, we thought that was a good rate. There's still some other components of that we want to kind of work with. Again, what we found was specific user groups may not have as good a compliance as some of the others. What we found was that we're pretty good at reaching our angling public, but say personal watercraft or recreation, a lot of folks with jet skis didn't know, for example, that they had plugs in jet skis that needed to be removed. And so that's a learning process for us to try and increase that education. So numbers for 2023, I don't have them yet, but we will. And then also what we're seeing, too, is we want to make sure that our users understand it's important now, but it's also important into the future. Just some anecdotal information. What we may have seen is a little bit of folks that paid a lot of attention to certain AIS regulations in previous years, but maybe not so much now. And that's where that clean, drain, dry every time messaging comes into play. It's, you know, not 9 out of 10 times, it's 10 out of 10 times.
Additional questions or comments? Very good. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you.